If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I don't think there's anybody in here that talks to God the way that I do, but I'm not disrespectful. I'm just honest. And there are times I say to him, I said, this is one time you're going to live with this mistake.
That's right.
Because I know I'm not perfect. And I tell him, I said, you're going to live with this one. You can't cast me away. There's nothing you can do to get rid of me because you told me nobody can pluck me out of your hand. And since nobody can pluck me out, I ain't jumping out. So you stuck with this neurotic boy. So I think that it's in your best interest to help me and perfect me. I'll submit, I'll yield, but I ain't hiding nothing. Yeah, I'm mad. I don't like certain people. I don't get along with certain people. Now, you do one of two things. You keep them away from me or you change me. But I ain't going to lie to you. I'm not going to walk up to you and say, praise the Lord, I like you. No, God calls me the truth. But y'all can't be like me. Don't let this collar fool you. I wasn't born in church. So Jesus says he builds character in chapter 4 of Ephesians. He gives us gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But now I call your attention to one of the most outstanding works of the Spirit, something that has always been present but hardly viewed as a work of the Spirit simply because, again, of our Western concepts of our expressions to God. In Romans chapter 8, that great chapter of freedom and liberty as well as instruction, it is in this passage that Paul, when we get down to the 18th verse, he starts writing. I can just imagine him in my mind's eye. He's just continuing to write a single thought. He uses a lot of conjunctions. He uses a lot of prepositions. And it seems that he struggles with trying to find a definitive end for his thought. And it continues on all the way through this particular teaching. But when we get down to verse 25, he seems to put a cap on his previous theories and said, but if we hope for that which we don't see, then we with patience wait for it. And it seems like he interjects all of the previous teachings about suffering and the world waiting for the expression of the children of God, how the whole of creation is waiting for the manifestation of God's children. Brothers and sisters, they're waiting for us to emerge from our cocoon of fleshliness and show them that God cares. You see, the people on the street don't know that God cares. They hear about the gospel. They hear about Jesus. But then we drive in our cars back to our spacious homes and leave them hungry. Did not Jesus say we cannot send them away fasting? You feed them. Did not the Apostle Paul and John both state that our love is personified by our actions to those that are orphans and widows? Did not Jesus even use the allegorical story of the woman who was a widow who went to the judge demanding the right of support because she was a widow? Yet I submit to you that there are people in the world that the economy has crushed under heel and they do not know that God loves them. I realize that from a theological perspective, poverty is the result of sin, but ignorance of the love of God is our fault. You see, there's just something about somebody making you feel good about yourself. And what would make you feel good about yourself more than knowing God loves you? You see, as a people, we've not had much hope. And everywhere we go, we've been put down, beat down. And the church has become the one place where we looked for hope. And unfortunately, our preachers took that 45 minutes to beat us down, tell us we were going to hell for smoking, for drinking, tell us we were going to hell for character issues that we could not control without the help of the Spirit. It seemed like all God wanted to do was beat us up and send us to hell. It seems like he was insensitive to our failings and our shortcomings. It seems like God was only interested in a perfection that we could not give to him. While our brothers and sisters and other ethnic persuasions were promoting the love of God and millions were being drawn to that love, we kept on personifying God as some judge who just stood around looking to beat you. That is not my theology about God. See, I believe the devil beats on you. God corrects you. God corrects you because he loves you. I had gotten suspended from school. I was innocent, by the way. It was the boy sitting behind me who was guilty. In fact, he's an elder in my church now. He had done this thing to Miss Smith, and I got suspended. And I went home, and apparently in those days, they would call your parents when you were suspended. It wasn't like today. They send you home, tell you to tell your parents. You ain't telling your parents. And so I went to the Pratt Arnold playground to play some baseball. And unbeknownst to me, my mother had come to the playground. She was a nurse, and she had come to the playground dressed in her nurse clothes. And she had her ironing cord with her. And the ironing cord was white. And against the backdrop of the white uniform, I couldn't see it. She walked all the way from the house around. And she crawled in through the hole that we crawl in through. And she walked up to me and proceeded to beat me from Pratt Arnold playground all the way to 21st and Susquehanna. She beat me up the steps into the bedroom by the open window, so I'm screaming, you know, and she's just steady wailing. Well, the ironing cord had a piece of tape at the bottom that held the ends together, and one of the pieces had come out and went across my face, and I was very light in those days, and so I had this red welt across my face. Well, when my mother saw that, she stopped. And she went into the bathroom and got a jar of methylate to put on a piece of gauze to put on my wound. And when I saw she was trying to help me, I decided to make myself a victim. I said, no, leave it on there. Let people see what you did. She said, come over here, boy. Let me fix that. And she was genuinely hurt that she had marked me. She was just trying to correct me. The piece fell out. Well, that's what God does. Do you remember when David said, I want to number the people? And Joab came to him and said, you can't be numbering the people. You're going to put your trust in a crowd. David said, number them anyway. And so David numbered the people. And then Gad came to him, the seer, and said, what is it that you've done? He said, I numbered the people. He said, well, you see, now you messed up, boy. He said, but God is going to give you a choice of three judgments. And when David heard the choice of the three judgments, he realized he messed up. And so he said, let me choose God's judgment. He said, because he's got mercy. And God said, for 3 days, you're going to have pestilence in the land. And he said, folk going to die. And then David saw the angel's arm starts going over his land and killing people. But then after a while, halfway through, a day and a half later, God said, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. His mercy kicked in. The ecclesiastical concept of God. Oh, my God. He's angry at the wicked every day, but his mercy is renewed. And do you know that where the plague stopped, David said, that's where I'm going to build God's temple to remind me of the mercy of God. Is there somebody in here this morning who has a definitive point in your life where the mercy of God was extended to you, where you can remember that if God had not been merciful right then, I would not be here today. The world is waiting for us to demonstrate the mercy, the love of God. We are God's representatives. We, us. And I thank God that there are people who knew me before Christ so they can see what Christ has done in me. That's why I go back to my old neighborhood. Drive through my old neighborhood. I took Sister Lambert and our daughter through my old neighborhood. Drove real slow. Turned left. We were on Broad Street. I turned left down Susquehanna and took them down the old neighborhood and then stopped and rolled the window down. And they were going, Dad, keep moving. Don't roll the window down. What are you doing? And I was parking the car and I was stopping. I went down 16th Street where I was a little boy and up Susquehanna Avenue. And we were just pointing out and we got down the old neighborhood and we stopped. And they're the same types of people still hanging out. And I'm rolling the window down to try to connect. They go, keep moving. Keep it. Don't stop. Dad, my daughter's in the back seat. Dad, don't do this. She said, you don't live down here anymore. I said, no, but I remember what God did for me. You see, every now and then, you've got to go back to the old landmark. Maybe not physically, but in your mind, take some time and think about, oh, what the Lord did for me. I was at the cabaret on Germantown Avenue that Friday night, 1972, when somebody started shooting, and I got out of a side door that wasn't there when I walked in. And so Paul goes on now. I love this. So we're waiting now with patience, what? For our final, the final concept of our salvation, to be saved from the presence of sin. So with hope, we wait. But then he goes on and says, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. Where are we deficient? In spiritual communication. If you notice the text, it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to pray. Paul does not suggest that we don't know how. He says, but we don't know what to pray for in the given situation. I pre-pray before I go see the sick. I pre-pray. In other words, I say, God, how should I pray when I get in there? I don't want to go in there and give the family false hope. So how should I pray? And when the Lord says to me, just go in and pray for peace, I know that person's not coming out. He just wants the family to have peace and accept what he allows. You see, this has been the greatest tragedy in Pentecostal expression, the sovereignty of God, submitting to the sovereignty of God. When the late Dr. James Boyce was diagnosed with liver cancer, prayer requests came from all over, the country. And I listened to him on his radio broadcast, and I will never forget his words of wisdom. He said, many of you are praying that God would heal me from this cancer. He said, but you would do better to pray that he guides the doctor. And I thought, wow, this is pretty neat. He wasn't saying God could not heal him. He was saying, pray for the will of God to be done. And most of us in here think the will of God is always yay. Sometimes it's nay. Isn't it the negative circumstances that cause us to question God? It is not the positive circumstances. The car dealer calls you up and says, you just got a new car. You go, praise the Lord. But if they come and say, we're going to take that one away, you go, Satan, the Lord rebukes you. The same God that allowed it is taking it. I don't question Job's theology. The Lord gave and the Lord took away. You can't have sovereignty and say he's not in control of everything. You can't say God moved through you because you fasted and prayed, but didn't move through you because you watched an improper movie. That means he's only moving based on you. No, beloved, he says that the Spirit helps our weaknesses because we don't know what we should pray for as we should pray.
If you believe God, for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10316A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at betheldeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.